Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast. It is Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2018, July 29th, 6:40 Pacific time in Las Vegas. That means it's 9:40 on the East Coast where my co-host Alex Cazora is. Alex, happy Sunday. Second day of pads in the books now. Fourth training camp practice for the Steelers now in the books. After tomorrow, I think we'll be a third of the way through this thing.
Yeah, we're going strong, Dave. I hope everyone reading is. Hope the players are. I think we're going to get potentially some bad weather tomorrow, but it was a perfect day today. You had the air show. There was a festival going on, a parish festival. So it was a great day of practice. I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, me either. And I was able to read your report before we got on, at least, you know, digest most of it, and obviously followed your tweets throughout the day. Let's start off with a little bit of housekeeping and the most important news. And look, you never know how these injuries are going to turn out. Sometimes you think the worst, and body language of players would make you think the worst. And lo and behold, you know, you get some good news the next day, and that's exactly what ended up happening with guard Ramon Foster, who went down about midway through the team's Saturday practice with a right knee injury. It looked bad, and judging by his body language and Ben and everybody else, you couldn't help but think the worst. But as we said last night, you know, you just have to wait and see with these things. And there was that initial report last night by Ian Rappaport. Lo and behold, that, you know, the positive of that carried over into Sunday morning. Aditi Kinkle-Bwala of the NFL Network reported that hyperextended knee, not going to need surgery, probably a bone bruise or whatnot involved in that. And while he's likely to miss the rest of training camp and probably all of the preseason, it sounds like there's a good chance that Ramon Foster will be back and ready to go by the regular season opener against the Cleveland Browns. So glory be, hallelujah. You know, you never know about these things. And the great Melanie Friedlander at Girl Surgeon on Twitter has done, you know, work for our site for a few years now. She got a post up to talk a little bit about what that hyperextended knee means, what the bone bruise means and all. And I highly suggest that you stop by. We've got it pinned up at the top of the site right now, and probably be there for the next several hours, maybe on into the morning as well too. So kudos to Melanie. Just does fantastic work on for the site when it comes to injuries and those kind of things. Now we do have, unfortunately, some new injuries to talk about, and unfortunately we have a lot of them to talk about. Alex and Mike Tomlin recapped them after practice was over. He didn't, you know, once again, he didn't go into great detail with these things. So we're going to have to sit and wait and see what happens to some of these guys. First, Morgan Burnett did not practice once again because of that hamstring injury. No, doesn't sound like there's a timetable for him to come back. Mike Tomlin said sooner rather than later, hopefully. Also failing to finish practice on Sunday were Juju Smith-Schuster, undisclosed injury there, although you and Tim reported that after practice he was catching passes from Ben Roethlisberger, so it doesn't seem to be too terribly serious. At least we don't think so when it comes to Juju. We also don't know what's going on with Ola Adeniyi, the rookie undrafted free agent out of Toledo. You seem to think that maybe he got dinged, might be in concussion protocol. Mike Tomlin did not address the specifics of that injury, however. Sean Davis wasn't able to finish with a tight groin, according to Tomlin. TJ Watt left with a tight hamstring. And if only he could stay healthy.
Oh, man.
McDonald afoot. Don't know. He rode off on a cart with that, I guess, probably the two-thirds into practice, to my understanding. Mike Thomas says, don't know the severity of any of these. Such is life this time of year. That is correct. Such is life. This time of year, second day of pads, starting to see a little bit of attrition going on. Not uncommon. Now we just sit and wait and hope that none of this is serious. And boy, I don't know if we jinxed. I don't even know if we could jinx Vance McDonald at this point. But, you know, to hear his name come out of Mike Tomlin's mouth, it really is disheartening. It doesn't sound like Watt is serious. It really doesn't sound like any of these guys are serious. But of the ones on the list, whenever I see Foot, I think Liz Frank. Immediately, I think Liz Frank. Now, hopefully that's just me being silly there. But when you got a guy like Vance McDonald, last year, ankle, back, shoulder, knee. I mean, what else is it going to be with this guy? So keep your fingers crossed there. Did I miss any of the housekeeping there?
Nope, I think you got it all. Just two quick notes here. I think I just thought concussion with Adenier, because the way he went down, they weren't looking at any part of his body. Then he immediately comes off the field, and that makes me think that, you know, they're just going under protocol right away. With McDonald, I know cart sounds scary, and I have no idea the nature of the injury. I missed it entirely. But, you know, most guys with any sort of leg injury aren't going to walk back, because there's hills, there's gravel, it's a long walk back to the facility, so the cart's just an easier way. Most of these guys come off the field on a cart of some sort to go back. So we'll see, but I just want to say that cart in this case does not have to mean a serious injury. No one just wants to walk back on an injured foot.
Right, and if your foot's sore too, I mean, maybe he twisted an ankle or something. Right. We don't know. And not even going to try to guess right now, right, as far as the seriousness goes on that. We'll just watch it day by day and go from there. But this is the time of year now where people, you know, where that list starts to build, and you just try to keep as many bodies going as you can there. Okay, no transactions. You know, the good news is before practice started, I'm kind of wondering, was there going to be an offensive lineman brought in? That wasn't the case, at least not yet there. So that kind of gave you a little bit of a hint that things were going to be good with Foster. And all reports from Tomlin to Art Rooney II in his interview with Steelers Live this afternoon, it all seems positive. It all seems like they avoided the worst there. Onward we go. And I guess we'll go ahead and start with offensive line. And, you never know, do you, Alex? You just never know who the player or players are going to be that, you know, we can try to pick who might be the dark horse here or whatnot. And you just never know how injuries are going to go. And it looks like, or it sounds like, Larson Graham is a guy that really we're going to have to pay close attention to moving forward here for various reasons. And I think you wrote today second team reps at left guard, and I think even third team reps at right guard.
Yeah, now at the start of camp, he was third team right guard, so he's keeping his spot there. But because Finney gets bumped up with the Foster injury, he's now the guy that gets the extra reps to second team left guard. So you go from third to second team, so you're getting a significant increase in reps, and then keeping your third team spot, which gives you those extra reps as well. So that's big for him. I don't know much about his pass protection game, but as a run blocker, I like him as a drive blocker. He's got some power, some strength, some lower leg drive. Had one good block and a tough day for the offensive line overall. But you're seeing kind of a nastiness and mean streak from Larson Graham. So, yeah, when we're talking practice squad linemen, because let's say they keep 8 offensive linemen on the 53. Very likely they keep 2 on the practice squad to get them to 10 to give you 2 lines to work with. So you're going to have minimum 1 offensive lineman on the practice squad, but probably 2. And Larson Graham could be a candidate for that.
If you had to guess right now, I mean, is Jake Rogers in that fight? Is Larson Graham? Obviously Patrick Morris. I mean, those 3 seem to be at the head of the class right now, right?
It might even be Parker Collins over Morris, just because Collins is running second team, but I think Morris has played better. Collins had a tougher day today. If I had to pick 2 guys, like I said, offensive line that I think make the practice squad, and again, super early injuries, I mean, just all the disclaimers, but I would go Jake Rogers to be your tackle. He had another good day today and one-on-ones against Chick, and then I'd go Larson Graham as my interior guy.
What do you like about Rogers?
He's got good size. He's got a good build. You know, he carries his weight well. I think he's got some athleticism. You know, you saw that back at Eastern Washington. Was with Atlanta. He's got some experience. This isn't new for him. He's in his second camp. So, again, it's Pittsburgh isn't new for him. His ability to mirror and read rushes. He went against Chicklow today one-on-ones. And Chicklow's not a great pass rusher. But what Chicklow does well is he wins in a lot of different ways. He'll throw every move in the kitchen sink at you. I mean, he'll hit you with a rip or a dip move and then try to spin inside, spin outside. I mean, you know, he'll try to set you up outside, then come inside. That's what he did to Rodgers today, and Rodgers beat him both times. So you're just seeing fluidity, athleticism, good weight, and then just getting the reps. He can play both tackle spots. He's running second team right tackle right now. You might be onto something here with Jake Rodgers. I'm still not convinced about 53-man roster, but as we sit today, I think good chance of practice squad again.
I'm definitely a guy to watch in these preseason games moving forward, yep. A guy that I kind of thought I liked his chances, you know, and a lot of it, of course, stemmed back to him being on that practice squad last year on and off. I think there's something there definitely worth watching. Graham's another one I can't wait to watch. Patrick Morris is another one I can't wait to watch. Tunch Ilkin, was it Tunch or – no, it was Craig Wolfley said Matt Filer looks a little bit leaner. Do you see that or no?
He's got a better view than I do. I really couldn't tell you. I thought Filer did a good job in one-on-ones. He was even getting some tackle reps in one-on-ones. I mean, not in team drill, but he's facing against outside linebackers doing a kick set. So he's still getting that tackle work and that center work and some other things that aren't team. One other quick note on a core for the rookie. This is just I'm putting my tinfoil here, hat on here, Dave, for you.
Hold on. Where's mine? Yeah. Let me get mine. I've got a better chin strap than you do.
You've had that for 30 years now, I bet.
Go ahead.
But I don't know if Joey Porter's saying something to the edge guys, but I swear he's going to Chicklow and Dupree and just saying, hey, piss off a core for it. Get him mad. Yeah, Chicklow fight him yesterday. Dupree in one-on-ones today. You know, Dupree tries to bull rush. It doesn't work. And Dupree kind of punches him in the face mask at the end of the rep. I just, again, total speculation, but I feel like they're just trying to get under a core four skin to try to bring that fire and nasty out of him, which we knew was kind of one of the knocks he had coming out of college. Was that he wasn't the toughest player and didn't always play to that intensity that you have to in the NFL. So total speculation, but I think they're just trying to get under a core four skin.
You know, that would be an interest. That's the type of questions that if we had David Todd in the room,
yeah.
Those are the type of questions that need to get asked. You might not get the answer, but at least get people. You know, you would at least start circulating, and then you could get a reporter to go to Chooks and ask him, "Do you think do you think they're doing this on purpose?" You know, that kind of thing. That kind of topic spawns better questions, I think, in my look, you know, maybe it's just something to try to see how he works when he is, you know, the next snap after that, you know.
Right. True.
You know, see how he responds. You know, they always say sometimes is you watch how quarterbacks respond the next snap after a sack, right? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, that's a great observation right there. So I wouldn't accuse you of having a tinfoil hat on there.
And that's something Joey Porter, you know, he would do. He would tell those guys to do that. So who knows?
Okay. I mean, O-line versus D-line drills. Did it, you know, I guess it's an opportunity to talk a little bit about the defensive line. So we'll kind of jumble this together here. What all stuck out, good or bad, on either side of those during that drill?
Well, they didn't do as many one-on-ones. They kind of focused. Yesterday, they did more one-on-ones, and today they did more two-man games and stunt work because Munchak reps stunts beginning of practice, O-line, D-line. You know, that's such a big key, and he's done a great job changing kind of the success whenever, you know, I think it was who was the offensive line coach before Munchak? Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Do you know who it was, Dave?
You're talking about over
at McNell, right?
No. Oh, yeah. For one season. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about him.
Yeah, well, easy to forget. But they were so bad at stunt pickup that year. And then Munchak comes in, reps it hard, and they've corrected it. But anyway, to get back to your question, they didn't do as much one-on-one work today. I thought Josh Frazier continues to do well in those environments. He's got a good first step, shows the power, that leverage that he has at nose tackle. I like what he's doing there. I just thought overall today the defense – outplayed the offense, especially in the run session, the first team session that wasn't seven shots. The offensive line, the run game had nowhere to go. You look at LT Walton, you look at Frazier, you look at Casey Sales had a really good day. Parker Cawthorn even made some noise. So you're just seeing that defensive line be stout, and there was just no running lanes at all today for the offense.
Casey's one that we ain't talked about much, right?
He's kind of separating himself a little bit from the Vickers and the Gilmores of the world and the Cawthorns. He's running third team lefty end. He had at least two tackles in that run session, got a pressure that forced an incompletion. I'm not 100% sure how that pressure happened, if he beat a guy, if there was a breakdown or what, but he did create the pressure nonetheless. So that was a guy that was probably one of the biggest unknowns to any Steelers fan, so much that the team site forgot about him for like 3 months until I asked Casey Sales, hey, are you still a Steeler? And he messaged me back and said yes, and lo and behold, he shows up on the team site. So I don't know where he's going to be in the pecking order. I just thought today was a nice day for him to kind of make some noise.
Lord, you just sent me back in time with Jack Bunnell Jr. You know where he's at right now?
He's still coaching? Ooh, I feel bad for that team. Where's he at?
He's at Ole Miss.
Is he the offensive line coach?
Yeah, his offensive line coach at Ole Miss now. He went to the Dolphins after the Steelers for 2014 and 2015 and was, I think, the assistant offensive line coach there. And now he's with Ole Miss. So, yeah, one C. Oh, Lord have mercy. God bless Mike Munchak. Okay, tight end position.
Tight ends. Xavier Grimble flashed a little bit today. Now the one completion, he was wide open down the middle. It was a play action. I think the linebackers bit, but had another nice catch on another play action where he reached over his head and made a catch in semi-traffic. I like how they're using the tight ends. I think I'm going to like that most about Randy Feetner is getting his tight ends in mismatches, being more creative and versatile with where some of the guys align. There was one play today where it was a twin set to the left. It was Hunter and AB to the left. To the right, it was Tucker in the slot, and Vance McDonald split out to the bottom. So Joe Hayden ended up covering Marcus Tucker. I think they had Hilton, the nickel corner, on Justin Hunter, and I think either a safety or a linebacker on Vance McDonald. So you're seeing tons of matchup problems there. Hayden having to play in a slot position he's not comfortable with. Hilton going against Hunter in the slot. That's a size mismatch. McDonald split out in the bottom. That's a mismatch there. So you're just seeing that creativity that I can't wait to see in actual gameplay of how you're going to kind of create those matchups. So not anything about a player itself, but just how the position is going to be used. And then lastly, Farrah McKeever, the blocking sled ate him up today. Tomlin made him do it again and again, just a leverage issue. He's just too tall and it's not getting low enough to create that power with his lower leg drive. So McKeever had a bit of a tough day.
Poor kid. And even the tight end, Christian, Scott Williamson. Obviously he's not going to make the roster. He's going to be on the practice squad this year. The most exciting thing about him, as we've said all along, is can't wait to see him run down kickoffs or punts or something along those lines. Boy, you just hope, man, if McDonald, that this nothing, because look, Xavier Grimble could be right there in it then, couldn't he?
In it for what, special team?
Xavier Grimble, talking about how they're going to, you're not going to use Jesse James a lot split out wide, right?
Right, yeah, probably not. Yeah, Grimble could be another candidate who I think could be capable of that. So, and hopefully he plays well to warrant that, because I think he has the talent just about putting everything together.
Okay, and running backs.
Again, no room for the running backs today, so it was a little tough to evaluate them in that regard. I thought, I tweeted this out. James Conner just looks night and day as a receiver. I think his pass protection's gotten better from the little I saw in backs on backers yesterday, from what I've seen in team drills. And then he just looks natural catching the football. Like, he really put in that work in the offseason. Everything slowed down for him. He beat Matakevich twice in one-on-ones, running back versus linebackers, with a couple of nice moves. You've seen some hand use. You've seen some concentration making a one-handed grab. So even in team drills, it shows up. Maybe not as spectacularly, but seeing him catch away from his body, quick to the tuck, get upfield. So excited about James Conner. I think, again, he's having as good a start as you could hope for. And I think they might try to find ways to get him on the field with Le'Veon Bell, doing some pony stuff, maybe some empty set. They did once today with two backs on the field. So excited about James Conner 4 days in.
All right, and wide receiver position. Tucker, any of these guys? I saw you write up about Darius Hayward-Bates still being a body catcher. that's not a surprise there. Anything else about that unit?
I think I mentioned this yesterday. Damon Patterson. Now, some people have called him a camp darling. I don't buy into that. That's too strong. But, again, I think he's separating himself from guys like Trey Griffey, guys like Quadri Henderson, Justin Thomas. I think maybe Tevin Jones is in second place there. But Patterson, the speed, the body control, make some catches over the middle. I think he's going to be a good special teamer based on his resume. If you made me choose a practice squad receiver today, I think I'd go with Damon Patterson.
Does he remind you of anyone? I mean, comparisons are horrible to do.
Yeah.
I know you don't like to do them, but who jumps to your mind?
Maybe, and again, this is spur of the moment. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with a kind of a practice squad type guy, but a poor Marcus Wheaton with some speed, some toughness, maybe some return value, but I think Patterson's special teams value is more of a coverage guy than Wheaton was as a return man, so I'm stretching it probably, but maybe a tiny bit like Marcus Wheaton without the slot value.
All right, and how's James Washington coming along? I mean, I know Rudolph likes to throw him the football, he seemed. How's the drop? I noticed a few drops maybe with him, huh? Is that pretty rampant right now? And is that kind of thing that you see a lot of this time of year?
Well, I don't know if he's had many true drops. There was one yesterday in one-on-ones where he beat Hayden on the post, had a great job to separate the top of his stem, but then dropped the pass. A lot of them have just been combative catches that have been broken up. I mean, he's made some tough catches too, don't get me wrong. But I think Cody Sensabaugh is doing some good coverage on him, Brian Allen as well. I think it's been good, though, for Washington. He's getting more work. He plays a high volume of snaps each practice. He's running a little bit with the ones, a lot with the second team, mostly on the outside, but a little bit in the slot as well. He's available. He's been healthy. He's been out there for every snap, taking care of his body. He looks in good condition, which is the story that he had coming out of college, that he was a highly conditioned athlete. I think you're seeing that. So there's some growing pains, but I think it's been largely positive with what you would expect and how well he's doing.
And I would take it you're seeing him on the left side some now, right?
Yeah, I haven't looked. I haven't thought about it too much. I could probably go back through my notes, but these guys play everywhere in the NFL. There's no hiding you left or right. You got to be able to kind of do everything. So, yeah, he's been left, right, even a little bit of slot work.
And it's going to be interesting now if Juju misses, a couple of practices here with whatever's going on with him right now. I mean, how would you expect that to kind of change things?
Not significantly. I mean, Juju, it felt like Juju hasn't taken every first team rep. I think maybe they just want to find more about guys like Marcus Tucker. So Tucker could slide into the slot. They're giving Hunter some work in the slot this year, which he played the slot in Buffalo 2 years ago. And I think now that he's a year in the Steelers system, they're trying to get his versatility up, at least in that regard, since we know he has no special teams value. But no, I don't think it changes it too much. It just gives guys more looks. Tevin Jones will get some more looks as well in the slot. So just more opportunities for other players.
Okay, switching over to the other side of foot, or let's go quarterbacks, I guess. Rudolph getting a few more, like, second team reps, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it felt like it today. It felt like Landry didn't take as many snaps as usual with Ben coming back, so they're just trying to really go three guys heavy, and then kind of one guy either has a true off day like Ben yesterday or kind of a half off day, unofficially official, like Landry Jones. I thought Rudolph, again, I think his processing's going a little bit better. He's reading, going through his progressions, being able to read the play, make a smart throw each time. Josh Dobbs, I don't want to say it's bad because it isn't, but it's just been a little disappointing. Hasn't really made any sort of wow plays as you would expect from a guy making the jump from year one to year two. Had a really ugly pick today where he drew Casey Sills offside, but then just kind of throws his lame duck throw down the left sideline that Marcus Allen picks off. Again, I don't want to say it's terrible, but and we'll see how preseason goes, but it just feels like there's a little left to be desired with Josh Dobbs early on.
Rudolph just settling in now. Is that what it is? Is he catching up with the speed? What is sticking out the most with him?
Well, I think one thing he's done well, there was a little issue of it yesterday, but he's correcting it well, is just getting the communication to be clean and getting the play call in and not having to reset the huddle. Now, yesterday, that was a slight issue. They had to reset, I think, the huddle twice, once in warm-ups and once in team drill. But for the most part, they've been able to get the communication in clean, get the ball snapped, and get an actual play, get an evaluation going. They're not wasting time. So I think from that standpoint, just the command and being able to process and spit that information out and get everyone on the same page has been impressive. And I think just some of the decision making has largely been good, and I see it getting better, you know, even just from day one and day two to day four, where he's going through his reads and he's hitting his check down and he's going to his third read in the progression, and some of these triangle concepts where you're reading 1, 2, 3, and he's making a profit on each throw. So I want to see the internal clock speed up a little bit, get the ball out a little bit quicker. But it's not nearly as bad as Landry Jones was doing in year one and even year two for him. So it's not been great. It's not been all perfect. That's what you would expect, but I think Rudolph is taking some strides.
What's Ben got? 3 or 4 interceptions now?
What's he got? You got Burns got him. Who else got him?
Edmonds got him today.
Yeah, Edmonds got him, so that's 2. He threw only 1 last year, so yeah, the defense is flying around. I mean, they're picking off passes left and right. I mean, they got to have 5, 6 interceptions already this season, which for a camp, that's really impressive.
Yeah, for every positive, there's a negative when it's your own team, right?
people will say in the stands, should we clap or should we boo when something happens?
Right, you just sit there. Don't sit on your hands. But, I know some people joking on Twitter today, the season's over, Ben's thrown 3 or 4. Yeah, I mean, I know, I get the sarcasm there and all like that. But, hey, I like to see some plays on the other side of the football. It sounds like Artie's having a good camp, and Edmonds getting a lot of snaps now with Burnett sidelined. So good to see him step in front of that that throw to McDonald, I think it was there, that he got that one off of from Ben today. Okay, anything with defensive line you want to hit on? And if not, being as how you kind of already attacked that position, go to the outside linebackers.
Yeah, I'm just going to skip to the outside linebackers. I guess I don't have a whole lot there. I'm just, you know, making sure everyone's healthy. You know, they lose Watts, lose Adeniyi within like 2 minutes. Even Keon Adams took 10 minutes off. I think it was some dehydration, cramping issue. He came back, though. I just want, you know, I want to see some more power from a guy like Farrington Hugonen. He's a decent athlete, but you want to see him convert speed to power. He had 1 bull rush and one-on-ones that did nothing.
And he didn't have that at Kentucky, you know. He never had that in at Kentucky.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot else notes. I think Adams has been fine. I just haven't gotten a great look at him. He's got good hand use, though. I saw 1 rep, I think, against Filer today, where he beat him inside pretty cleanly with a 2-hand swipe. But yeah, just hoping for good health from Adeniyi, who's been impressive, and of course you want T.J. Watt to be available as well.
Chicolo has a plan. He just the execution, right?
I mean, I think that's a perfect way to put it. There's probably no in Steelers camp, there's no pass rusher as varied as Anthony Chicolo. He's got all the moves that you could ask for. Does he have the bend? Not really. Is he a great athlete? Not really. Does he convert speed to power? Not so much. Does he have violence in his hands? Not as much as you would like to see. He usually has good camps, and he's having a good camp again because he is kind of he's a hard worker, and he's a guy that wins in a lot of ways, and hats off to him for the transformation he's made. But watching him in game during the season, it was just there isn't a whole lot there, and I think he's pretty much maxed out.
Okay, and inside, Matt, I'm sure the pecking order's close to I keep seeing LJ Fort's name pop up here and there.
Yeah, no, it's just tough to get a read on these guys. I think, you know, as much as we've had concerns about this group and still are, and rightfully so, there's been a lot of guys impressing. Tyler Matakevich did a nice job in the team drill, the run session. LJ Ford had a tackle for loss, Bud Dupree had a tackle for loss from the outside guys. Matthew Thomas is flying around. Keith Kelsey flashed, and they're just doing a lot of mixing and matching. I mean, you know, generally Vince Williams and Tyler Matakevich are the ones, but they'll throw Bostigan next to Vince Williams. They'll go Vince Williams and Matakevich is the one. So there's still some rotation there. Battles aren't over. I think the group's all competing against each other and kind of, you know, the cream's rising to the crop. They know they're all fighting for jobs. Really, no one's job is 100% safe. And so they're all kind of bringing the best out of each other, and that's the way you want it to happen.
First thing this morning, a Twitter follower of mine wanted to ask me if I remember what happened way back in 2002 and how this Maticavage versus Bostic thing is almost a carbon copy of what happened in 2002. And yeah, he's right. And I went ahead and wrote about this. And believe it or not, I remembered a lot of it. There were a few minor details that I had to look up, like who started what preseason game. But this is back in 2002. And how old were you in 2002? Make me feel old.
Nine years old?
Oh, Lord.
You're old man.
Oh, Lord. Well, I don't know if you read the post or not, but that was the year that they went out and, you know, Earl Holmes, they couldn't re-sign Earl Holmes. Earl Holmes, the previous seasons was the Mac and then switched over to the Buck in, I think, 2001. And then he was in free agency, was asking for way too much money, and the Steelers said, you know, the heck with that. Go ahead and walk. That was, they went ahead and signed James Ferrier. That was the in April, after they pretty much told Earl Holmes to beat it, they quickly jumped on James Ferrier. And at that time, you know, off the top of my head, you know, there were a lot of it was being written initially that, you know, this is going to be Ferrier's job. Well, lo and behold, you get into the summer there, and they had John Fiala still there, a former, I think it was a sixth-round pick of the Dolphins, and didn't make it with them rookie season and landed on the Steelers practice squad, and the next season on the 53-man roster. He really was. I mean, it's easy to call him the 2002 version of Tyler Maticavage, because John Fiala was excellent. Special teams player. I mean, I think he, during his five seasons or so in Pittsburgh, I think it was something like 80 or 90 total tackles. I mean, This guy really was the Tyler Maticavage in 2002. But even so, they didn't just hand Ferrier the job. And those two, you know, kind of split time during training camp and all. And you get into the preseason, and Fiala started the first game at the MAC. And then alongside Kendrell Bell, because they had drafted Kendrell Bell in 2001. The second preseason game, then it was Ferrier next to Bell. And in that game was the game that Bell hurt his ankle. So they wanted to see both Ferrier and Fiala play the MAC. So what they did is the next game, I think Ferrier, they both of them started side by side. I think it was Ferrier was the Buck. I think Ferrier was the Buck and Fiala was the Mac, and then the preseason finale they switched those two, and even then, you know, there's still a little bit of question of who is going to win what. Obviously, James Ferrier was named the starter, and he started the season at the Buck alongside Kendrell Bell, and then Bell went down injured again, and poor Fiala didn't even get the chance to go in to replace him. He stayed on special teams, and that was Larry Foote's rookie season. And Larry Foote played like three of the first, I don't know, five games starting alongside Ferrier there. So that's, I guess what I'm getting at here is I'm not going to be a bit surprised when Tyler Maticavage starts the first preseason game against the Eagles. And I'm pretty sure you're not going to be either, but it will be interesting to see how it kind of progresses from there.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And that's scary how close the parallels are between those guys and how it applies to today. Yeah, I totally expect Maticavage to be the starter in the first preseason game. Where it's going to go from there, I don't know. I think it's still a battle, like I said. But yeah, it's Maticavage is going to get that opportunity, and he's going to start week one in the preseason, no doubt about it.
All right, wind us up with some defensive backs. Edmonds getting a lot more time. I think, I mean, is Sensabaugh maybe the didn't see that coming kind of guy this so far?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. He's having a strong camp. Now, maybe going against a rookie in James Washington, who doesn't know the nuances of the game, helps, but I think he's been competitive playing the pocket. I think he's doing a good job against the run. You know, he's trying to remind fans that he's still here, he's still got experience, and don't count him out entirely just yet. Other guys, Marcus Allen gets his first pick, Edmonds gets his first interception, so good days for the rookies. I thought Edmonds' play was more impressive than Allen, but semantics at that point. A couple other guys at the cornerback position to talk about. Deshaun Phillips, some versatility, started out as 13 nickel, now playing some left corner, some outside corner. A little Mike Hilton-like, so undersized kid, but feisty, physical, put Rosie Nix on his butt today, supports to run well. This is a guy they traded for last year. One underrated trade from Kevin Colbert, you know, the Steelers traded Lucas Crowley for Deshaun Phillips. Lucas Crowley was a center who had no chance to make it in Pittsburgh, got cut outright by Washington at the end of the preseason, and now Phillips is still hanging around Pittsburgh and could, you know, stay on the practice squad again. And then Cam Sutton, just adding to the role decks of positions he can play. We've seen him in the slot, seen him left corner, now he's working right corner on the outside. So again, the guy that's going to, again, I believe, be first man up at any injury to the cornerback spots.
Is Brian Allen a lock?
A lock.
I mean, we've both been putting him in our 53. Is he, you know, if you were David Todd, would you bet my house?
I'd bet your house. I wouldn't bet my house. I feel like he's very close to being a lock. I mean, when I put him on my 53-man roster, I haven't done it without a second thought. And I think they like Brian Allen. They like kind of the size and the speed and kind of the way the NFL is going. So I'd be very surprised if he got cut. I think if they want to keep Sensabaugh, they're going to find a way to keep six corners instead of cutting Brian Allen. But, you know, I guess we'll have to go into the preseason and just kind of see how he's doing in game.
And I guess my, a follow-up question to that is, you know, could you see him keeping 6 and 4? They're not going to keep more than 10 defensive backs, right?
I mean, have they kept 11 before?
I'll have to go back and look. If they have, they haven't done it. It's been because of injuries or whatnot, you know?
I think about the sub packages and the hybrid guys and the way that the league's going, that, you know, teams are going to go heavier in the back end than they will in the front seven, but we'll see.
Yo, and the thing I guess it comes down to is a guy, I mean, we've been penciling in Marcus Allen as that fit safety. So, you know, he's going to be the wild card in all this. And in my opinion, that far down the depth chart, his hair better be on fire for Danny Smith better be the one pounding the table to keep him.
Mm-hmm. But Allen does profile as someone that can be successful there. Of course, he's got to prove it, but that's the expectation. So, yeah, if there's a guy that goes, it'd be Allen. But is Sensabaugh, what's Sensabaugh going to give you on special teams? Maybe not as much as Marcus Allen.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is Sensabaugh's not that great on special teams. But, I mean, some of these corners, I mean, obviously, and that's where Brian Allen has a strong suit to some degree, you know, got some special teams burned last year and did okay at it, I thought. You know?
As a gunner, I thought he was successful.
Right. I mean, obviously didn't see anything really out of him on defense because he didn't play that side of the ball. But I guess what I'm asking is, you know, what's the chances of Sensabaugh at this point?
I don't know. Better than what I originally thought. I think he's just having a nice camp, but 25%? I don't know. It's just a numbers game working against him. I think he's playing well. It's just, what is the use? Is he worth the money? You have Brian Allen. Is Sensabaugh going to be worth it as likely inactive on game day, you know, week one? Then you want to keep that vested veteran? I don't know. I still think it's going to be a tough climb.
Yeah, and look, I mean, these things have a funny way of working themselves out, right, unfortunately. Yep. So yep. That's why you keep these guys around, because you just never know with injuries or whatnot. All right, anything else to add before we wrap this thing up for the people?
No, you want to go, I guess, to kind of the winners and losers real quick?
Yeah, go ahead and get that, and then why don't you plug everybody that needs plugging after that.
Yep. Well, let me plug before I forget. Len Testa from Touring Plants, great folks over there. If you're planning a trip to Disney, that's the team you want to contact and work through. I think somebody on Twitter commented back on me today and said they went through them, had a great experience, made their lives a whole lot easier. So again, contact Touring Plans at touringplans.com. Thank you to Tim Rice for some amazing photos. He's an absurdly good photographer. Thanks to everyone who's donated so far on our Steelers Depot tip jar. Excuse me. I'm losing my words here. I'll wrap it up. But we winners and losers. That's the defensive line. The front seven did a great job in the run session. So hats off for that whole unit for just kind of clamped down against the run. But even then, James Conner finds ways to impress me as a receiver, as a blocker, and doing everything else. So I thought he had a nice day. The losers, again, I don't want to harp on it too much, but Josh Dobbs, little underwhelming, not as impressive as I've expected and kind of hoped for. And then Farrah McEvoy on the blocking sleds. I thought even Christian Scotland Williamson's doing a better job of getting leverage and showing power, and he's 2 inches taller than McEvoy. So McEvoy brings some intrigue as a receiver, and he's a raw guy as well. He hasn't played a lot of tight end. He's a little Brian Allen-like. He's got like 2 years of experience there. But it's just you see the rawness, and it's going to be tough for him.
All right, another gold star for Bud Dupree for staying on the field, too. So I want to make sure to get that out there. Okay, Alex, I appreciate it. You and I will get after it again on Monday. Well, my days are starting to run together here now. And
ditto.
Let's see. They got Monday, and then are they off Tuesday or no?
Off Tuesday, then they run through, I think, Wednesday through Sunday, I believe.
All right. So if we can get through one more day here, and then we'll wrap it up tomorrow night. Make sure you read his Alex's report on SteelersDepot.com. Read that article by Melanie Friedlander on Ramon Foster and his injury as well, too. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at SteelersDepot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kazora. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, TheTerriblePodcast@gmail.com. And that's got it. Peace and love. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and tonight, Alex Kazora. Good night.